God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We resume this morning in Genesis chapter 50. We will pick up with verses 7 through 14 in the exegesis. All right, there's no better way to start a new year in the angelic conflict other than being sure that you're in fellowship and to tune ourselves back into the reality of God's plan for our life. That looks at our form of true worship as Christ himself so taught. That is that we worship in spirit and truth. In spirit is God the Holy Spirit under his filling ministry. The believer priest engages his personal sin of life. They are out of fellowship. How we are able to regain fellowship is through the rebound technique of 1 John 1:9, whereas in our prayer confession, God forgives us our sins, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. In that capacity, we have fellowship with the Father and the Son and true fellowship with one another. And in this capacity, we are also able to isolate the sin nature and overrule it in regards to the approach to the truth of Bible doctrine, the other ingredient for true worship. And that is the fact that we have the spiritual apparatus for perception functioning on our behalf so that we can assimilate this stuff as it's so designed in regards to the fact that it is spiritual information and must be spiritually assessed in this regards. The Bible teaches real clearly that the natural man does not understand the things of God because they are spiritual and they must be spiritually assessed. And the reason why there are so many schisms and interpretations regarding the Bible out there in the world, rather than the like-mindedness that Paul exhorted his churches to engage in and to have, is because people will not overrule their sin nature and approach the truth of Bible doctrine in its designed fashions. We're not of that ilk. We are here. We are still a lampstand. And it behooves each and every one of us to properly represent it. And once again, we will do so as we give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, we know that the things of this world will pass, but your word stands forever. We thank you for your plan for us. We thank you for yet another opportunity to study the truth of your word. That through grace you have provided for us all the assets necessary for us to have a relationship with you, to clearly understand and know you and your plan, and let that be our boast if we have one in regards to our Christian experience and time. We ask once again this morning that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten the truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. It wasn't worth staying up last night watching that football game anyway. All right. Back into the text here as we're winding down the book of Genesis. Jacob has been promoted into phase 3. That ends chapter 49. Joseph and his brothers are obviously there at this time and the point of his death. Joseph himself is bedside as he observes and watches his father take his last breath. Genesis 50, verse 1, then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. Joseph essentially gives his goodbyes for now. He obviously holds to the doctrine of resurrection, that this is not a permanent situation, and that his father is simply asleep in terms of observation in the physical world, spiritually in his soul. He is quite awake, quite alert, Jacob is, as all people have gone on before us, and continues to be privy to self-identity and his history and the things going on around him in the new dimensional place of existence in the third heaven, essentially, eventually for them. Obviously here, previously, they went to, Old Testament saint believers went to Sheol, paradise, where Abraham's bosom, as it's so-called, exists in that regard. But now we know all believers are in the third heaven, face-to-face, if you will, in their souls, human spirits, with the Father and the Son. And but he tells them his, gives them his goodbyes, and then he composes himself, and he calls upon his healers, the doctors of the time, and through his prerogative, calls for his father to be embalmed. And the embalming, by all appearances, was one that would be reserved for someone of great importance, of royalty, or other high position in regards to Egypt in and of itself. Verse 2, and Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. It'd be interesting to see his mummy, just how preserved it might still be today, wherever it is interred in that regards in Canaan or Israel. And now 40 days, as we're given some information here that aligns with external sources of history. Now 40 days were required for, that's the embalming, verse 3, for such is the period required for embalming. And the Egyptians then wept for him 70 days. This was a custom, an Egyptian custom, that they followed. Obviously, this is a contrast to the customary time of weeping and mourning that you would find from an adjusted believer who does not see all things as completely lost in regards to the loss of a loved one in this respect. The Egyptians, this 70 days included the 40 days of embalming that mourning would be going on during that period. But for obviously 2 months and 10 days, they go on in this mourning process. And then verse 4, when the days of mourning for him were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found favor in your sight, please speak to Pharaoh, saying, verse 5, my father made me swear, saying, behold, I am about to die in my grave, which I dug for myself in the land of Canaan, and there ye shall bury me. Now therefore, please let me go up and bury my father, then I will return. After the customary national mourning period, if you will, bypasses, Joseph then has an obligation that he made to his father, and that was Jacob's request to not to be let his body be buried in Egypt, but be buried in Canaan in a plot that obviously he had already prepared for himself when he, by all indication in occurrence, when he buried his wife Leah previously, previous to his own death in this respect. And if we see Joseph's common courtesy, if you will, as an authority in ruling over Egypt, why this man, why this believer was so well respected, etc. And that is that how he treats those who are subordinate to him in regards to his authority. In his request to go bury his father, he does not go directly to Pharaoh, but he goes to the household of Pharaoh, over which he has authority. He was given authority in this regard. And this obviously recognizes the fact that he's got to make some trip now, some 600 miles round trip, to go bury his father. This is going to take him out of pocket in terms of his responsibilities and duties over Pharaoh's household, as well as his other responsibilities before Pharaoh. And he gives his subordinates opportunity to know beforehand and to be in agreement with or rise, raise any objections they may have for him to leave for, as it might be on foot, some 3 month period of time it would take to go there and come back, even though as we'll see, it probably didn't take them that long. But either way, he goes to these people and he shows due respect, and they turn around, and by all indication, there was no objections regards to his leaving for this point in time. Obviously, it doesn't put anybody in any bind that they can't otherwise overcome in this regard. They are for him in terms of his situation. And they go to Pharaoh. They make a request on his behalf in verse 6. And Pharaoh said, "Go up and bury your father as he made you swear." Pharaoh has unbelievable high regard in regards to Joseph, as well as the rest of Egypt, basically in toto. You might think that someone of foreign descent ruling over them in this regard, it would be a burr in their saddle, but we don't see this by any indication in regards to the historical records that are left to us in terms of his time in office as vizier in regards to Egypt. And again, it just shows you the level of application and discernment and wisdom that he had in regards to his own life in dealing with people, and therefore gaining the respect and integrity for him, the very acknowledgement of Joseph having made that oath by Pharaoh shows the integrity of Joseph and his honesty. Obviously, he trusts Joseph to go do what he needs to go do, and he will come back and continue to fulfill his obligations to Egypt otherwise in this respect. That brings us up then to verses 7 through 14 that we'll do as a unit, where here we have recorded the funeral possession, burial, and then return to Egypt. So, a few verses here to look at. First and foremost, verse 7, looking at the Hebrews. So Joseph went up to bury his father. You have the wow consecutive, to go up, ascend. Literally, is your calendar perfect third masculine singular verb, Allah, A-L-A-H. He ascended, went up. Joseph, proper noun. To bury is the preposition lamed with the cal infinitive construct verb kavar, Q-A-B-A-R. His father, sign the direct object, plus the noun, comma, masculine singular construct with the third masculine singular suffix, or noun for father, av, A-B. And then we see a company that goes with him. And with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his household, and all the elders of the land of Egypt. Wow, consecutive, again, our verb to go up or ascend, Allah, calendar perfect third, masculine plural, they ascended, A-L-A-H, together with him, to accompany him, is the preposition F, means with, together with someone, with the third masculine singular suffix, E-T-H. And then you have the common masculine singular noun construct, kol, before the first category here, K-O-L. In the singular, you might translate it, each of. Then you have here the servants of Pharaoh, common masculine plural construct noun, servants, eved, E-B-E-D, proper noun, Pharaoh. And then you simply have the elders of his household. You have the adjective masculine plural construct zakin, our adjective for elders, those of high position, prominence, if you will, in the palace. His household is a common masculine singular construct, third masculine singular suffix, our noun for house or household, bayith, B-A-Y-I-T-H. And then you have the wow conjunction and our noun kol repeated here in front of this category, common masculine singular construct, K-O-L, each of the elders of the land of Egypt. Translated all in the English here, adjective masculine plural construct zaken, again, elders, Z-A-Q-E-N, eretz, land of, common feminine singular construct, E-R-E-T-S, Egypt, proper noun. In addition to the Egyptians, then you have those of the Hebrew descendancy. Verse 8, and all the household of Joseph and his brothers and his father's household. You have a wow conjunction. Again, our noun kol, K-O-L, comma masculine singer, construct, K-O-L, household, bayith, same noun, comma masculine singer, construct as earlier, B-A-Y-I-T-H, Joseph, proper noun, and his brothers, wow conjunction, and then our noun for brothers, comma masculine plural, construct, third masculine singer, suffix, ach, A-C-H, and the household of his father, literally, wow conjunction, bayith, repeated B-A-Y-I-T-H, comma masculine singer, construct. Father is a comma masculine singer, construct, third masculine singer, suffix ob, A-B. Then we had the exceptions here. They left only their little ones and their flocks and their herds in the land of Goshen. You had the adverb rach, R-A-Q. It literally means thin. Hence, just a remnant, a small portion of, if you will, only, translated only, their little children. It's a comma masculine singer construct with the third masculine plural suffix noun, thoth, T-H-A-P-H, vowel conjunction. Then their flocks is a common feminine singer construct, third masculine plural suffix tson, T-S-O-N. Obviously that encompasses all their livestock here, basically, of the sheep and goat variety. And then the beef variety, otherwise, wow conjunction, comma masculine singer, construct, third masculine plural suffix, bakar, their herds, B-A-Q-A-R, cattle, donkeys, camels, things of that nature. Then you had the verb they left towards the end of the sentence, Hebrew sentence, cow, perfect, third common plural, azab, A-Z-A-B, in the land of Goshen, preposition bet, land, Eretz, E-R-E-T-S, common feminine singer, construct, proper noun, Goshen. Verse 9. There also went up with him both chariots and horsemen. You have the wow consecutive, our verb again to ascend, go up, going from a lower elevation to a higher elevation from Egypt up to Canaan. A cow, perfect third masculine singer, Allah, A-L-A-H. With him is the preposition M, third masculine singer suffix, I-M. Adjoined, but not in the same category as F, together with, as an accompany in a personal level, if you will. But they're adjoined. Then you have the conjunction Gom, which we translate also, follow with the common masculine singer noun, absolute, rekeb, R-E-K-E-B, chariots. The military form of vehicle, common in this time and period, especially by the Egyptians. Then you had the conjunction gam repeated, G-A-M, and then our noun for translated horseman is a common masculine plural absolute, parash, P-A-R-A-S-H. Literally, this word means horse, used 57 times, with all but three times in the plural. Some lexica suggests that it always refers to the horse, and if horseman is ever allowable, it is reference to those charged with managing the horses as with a chariot, not those that mount for riding, as it might be construed otherwise. That's by Osinkel. So the Hebrew, the language here, is also chariots, also horsemen. I just simply translated horses. Then wow consecutive, we'll deal with that in the analysis. Wow consecutive, it was a very great company. It became, with the additions of all those who joined or were part of this possession, Cal Perfect third matching singer Hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. You had the definite article, followed with the common both singer, noun absolute, Makaneh, M-A-C-H-A-N-E-H, a camp or company. Then you have the adjective, matching singer absolute, Kaved, a great company. Not only a great company, is followed with the adverb, Meod, M-E-O-D, exceedingly great company. So, en route, verse 10, we see this occurrence. When they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan, there they lamented there with a very great and sorrowful lamentation. While consecutive, they had the cow, imperfect, third masculine plural, or verb to go, can be translated come or go, bo, B-O, when they came, to is the preposition odd, as far as, in distance is the idea here rather than time, A-D. The threshing floor of Atad, you have the proper noun, Goren Hahathad, G-O-R-E-N, H-A-T-H-A-D. It's used two times here, and then the next verse, verse 11. That's the only times it's used in the Old Testament. Which, relative pronoun, Asher, A-S-H-E-R, is beyond the Jordan. You have the preposition bet, is by, plus the preposition aber, A-B-E-R, beyond. By beyond. So it's near to the Jordan, but it's on, would be on the east side of the Jordan. Definite article, proper noun, Jordan. Jordan River, that extends from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea. Then you have the wow consecutive, with the cow and perfect third masculine plural verb, safad. Saw this word back in chapter 23, verse 2, S-A-P-H-A-D, to lament. Then they lamented. Notice the plural, person, number, here of the individuals. There is the adverb sham, S-H-A-M. And then you have the common masculine singular absolute noun, mesiped, M-I-S-E-E-P-E-D, means wailing. It's used 16 times. To wail. Cry out in a loud voice. Then you have the adjective, masculine singular, absolute, gadol, G-A-D-A-O-L, G-A-D-O-L, excuse me, a great one. So translated very great. Without the wailing, just the English very great. They throw it all in together here in one unit. Then you have the wow conjunction and the adjective, masculine singular, absolute, kaved, which K-A-B-E-D means literally, it means heavy, and a grievous one. Then the adverb meod is used again here, M-E-O-D, exceedingly. M-E-O-D. So this picture obviously paints an unbelievable emotional outburst that goes on in this particular scene. And then the final clause here of verse 10, and he observed 7 days mourning for his father. He had the wow consecutive. Then our verb to observe is a cow perfect here, third masculine singular, So you have the plural, the great lament going on. Now you have the singular, it transfers to the singular in regards to this clause, the time period of mourning, set. Observed as the count perfect third masculine singular, asah, A-S-A-H, literally means to do, and can be translated many different ways. Your observe is fine. Then you have the preposition lamed, plus the common masculine singular construct noun with the third masculine singular suffix ab for his father. Then the common masculine singular absolute noun avel, E-B-E-L, lament, 7 days. Seven is your adjective masculine singular construct sheva, S-H-E-B-A, followed with our noun for days, yom, Y-O-M, common masculine plural absolute. And this is this whole scene is observed by the surrounding residents. Verse 11, now when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning at the threshold floor of Atad, they said, you have the wow consecutive. Then our verb to see here is calon perfect third masculine singular ra'ah. Here is a collective singular, R-A-A-H, when they saw collectively the people around those doing the scene are here the cal participle masculine singular verb constructed yashab, the inhabitants or dwellers of. Use substantively, obviously, this participle, Y-A-S-H-A-B, of the land, definite article, our noun, eretz, E-R-E-T-S, common feminine singular absolute. Here, the Canaanites, definite article, proper noun, Canaanites. What they saw, the sign of direct object, the mourning or lamenting, definite article, with the common masculine singular absolute noun, avel, E-B-E-L. A particular scenario defined here and described for us at the threshing floor of a tad, preposition bet, proper noun again. Wow, consecutive. Then they said, cal in perfect third masculine plural, amar. This is a grievous mourning for the Egyptians. Therefore, his name, Avel Mizraim, which is beyond the Jordan. The lament, literally in the Hebrew, common masculine singular absolute, Avel, is a grievous one. That's your Hebrew language, E-B-E-L. Followed with our adjective for grievous, adjective masculine singular absolute, Kaved, heavy, grievous. This one, this particular one, you have the adjective masculine singular zeh, Z-E-H, this one, for the Egyptians, preposition lamed, proper noun, mazarim. Then you have the preposition all, A-L, plus the adverb ken, K-E-N, upon thus or therefore. It was called, it should be it, not is. Count perfect third masculine singular, kara, Q-A-R-A. It was called its name, common masculine singular constructor, feminine singular suffix, shem, S-H-E-M, then proper noun, avel mitzarim, A-B-E-L, M-I-T-S-E-R-A-Y-I-M, literally means the mourning of the Egyptians. The mourning of the Egyptians. A relative pronoun is sher, A-S-H-E-R, preposition bet, followed with a common masculine singular noun, construct aver, which is at, beyond, if you will, E-B-E-R, the Jordan definite article proper noun. Verse 12, and thus his sons did for him as he had charged them. You have the wow consecutive here, the verb asah, translated, and they did, Calum perfect third masculine plural, A-S-A-H, the one that was translated observed earlier, the same verb. His sons, common masculine plural, construct third masculine suffix, ben, B-E-N. For him is the preposition lamed with the third masculine singular suffix, as. He had charged him. You have the adverb ken, K-E-N, plus the preposition kaf, so, or so as, or so like, a relative pronoun, a share, repeated, which he charged them, commanded in, is the PL, perfect third masculine singular verb, third masculine plural suffix, tasawa, T-S-A-W-A-H. Verse 13, what they did in fulfilling their obligation. Verse 13, for his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre. Well, consecutive. Cal, perfect third masculine plural verb, nasa, N-A-S-A, to carry. And they carried him, sign of direct object, with the third masculine singular suffix, his sons is the common masculine plural noun, construct third masculine singular suffix, ben, B-E-N, to the land of Canaan. You don't have any preposition, it's simply his sons, the land of Canaan in the Hebrew here. Common feminine singular, construct eretz, E-R-E-T-S. We say, in the English, to the land of, proper noun, Canaan. And they buried him. Wow, consecutive, cal, imperfect, third masculine plural, kavar, to bury, Q-A-V-A-R, him, sign direct object, again with the third masculine singular suffix. In the cave of is a preposition bet, their noun for cave, me-ara, M-E-A-R-A-H, common feminine singular construct. The cave of, the field of, Machpelah, common masculine singular construct noun, sadeh, for field, S-A-D-E-H, definite article, proper noun, Machpelah, which Abraham bought along with the field for a burial site from Ephron the Hittite, that was recorded for us way back in Genesis, chapter 13 or so, somewhere around there. Relative pronoun, asher, A-S-H-E-R. In our verb to buy or acquire, he bought, is a cal perfect third masculine singular, kana, Q-A-N-A-H. Abraham, proper noun, sign of direct object. The field, again, sadeh, with the definite article here, common masculine singular absolute, S-A-D-E-H. For a possession of, property, if you will, preposition, lamed, a common feminine singular construct, noun, akuza, A-C-H-U-Z-A-H, for possession and property of a grave, sepulcher, burial plot, as we would understand a common masculine singular noun, kaver, Q-E-B-E-R, from Ephron the Hittite. Preposition men, M-I-N, sign, at the direct object, proper noun Ephron, then you have the definite article, the Hittite, proper noun, And then our phrase before Mamre, Machpelah, before Mamre, in the middle of the sentence there in the English, you have that phrase at the end of this sentence in the Hebrew, preposition all, A-L, common, both plural construct, noun for faces is paneh, P-A-N-E-H, before the presence of, surface of, here in this tangible setting, upon the site or the surface of Mamre, proper noun. Verse 14. Joseph keeps his word. And after he buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brothers and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. While consecutive, our verb to return is the cow and perfect third masculine singular shuv, S-H-U-B, proper noun Joseph, to Egypt, proper noun. He himself, emphatic to make sure that he met his obligation personally, pronoun third masculine singular who is he in the Hebrew. While conjunction, and his brothers, common masculine plural construct, third masculine singular suffix ach, A-C-H. And all who had gone up with him. While conjunction, our common masculine singular construct noun kol, K-O-L. Definite article, cow, followed with the cow participle, masculine plural, absolute verb, Allah, to go up, ascend with him. Preposition F here together with him, third masculine singular suffix ETH. And then to bury his father, you have the preposition lamed, sign of direct object, or noun for father, common masculine singular construct. They went up for his father, literally, in this instance, of AB. And then you have the first phrase after burying his father at the end of the Hebrew sentence here is the adverb akaray, after, A-C-H-A-R-A-Y, followed with a cow infinitive constructor, masculine singular, kavar, burying him, Q-A-B-A-R, sign of direct object, his father, common masculine singular constructor, masculine singular suffix, ab, A-B. All right. Rereading the verses. Verse 7. So Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his household, and all or each of the elders of the land of Egypt. Verse 8. And all the household of Joseph and his brothers and his father's household, they left only their little ones and their flocks and their herds in the land of Goshen. Verse 9, there also, they went up with him also, both also chariots and also horses, horsemen, and it was a very great company, exceedingly great. Verse 10, when they came to the threshing floor of Tad, which is beyond the Jordan, they lamented there with a wailing, very great and sorrowful. A great one, grievous one. And he observed 7 days for his father. Verse 11, now when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning at the threshold floor of the Tad, they said, this is a grievous mourning for the Egyptians. Therefore it was named Abel Mizarim, the grieving of the Egyptians, which is beyond the Jordan. Verse 12, and thus his sons did for him as he had commanded them or charged them. Verse 13, for his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, which Abraham had brought along with the field for a burial site from Ephron the Hittite. Verse 14, and after he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brothers and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. The analysis of verses 7 through 14. One, with Pharaoh's approval, Joseph went up to bury his father. Allah, Joseph, Kavar, Av, in Canaan. Joseph went up to bury his father in Canaan. to his first nine denotes. Those that accompanied Joseph, quote, became a very great company. Hayah ha makaneh kaved meod, end quote. Became a very great company. Three, the Hebrew phrase kaved meod, translated very great, literally means, quote, a great one exceedingly, and suggests hundreds, if not in the thousands, that formulated this funeral possession. Like a small army, almost, in this regard. So four, the categories of companions then are listed for us in verses 7 through 9. Quote, all the servants of Pharaoh, Kol Aved Pharaoh, in quotes, that's verse 7. B, the elders of the household, in quote, Zakin Baith, verse 7. C, quote, all the elders of the land of Egypt, Kol Zakin Eretz Egypt, verse 7. D, all the household of Joseph, Kol Baith Joseph, verse 8. E, his brothers, Ach, verse 8. F, his father's household, Baith Ab, verse 8. And G, also both chariots and horsemen, Gam Rekev, Gam Parash, verse 9. So quite an entourage. At 5, by all appearances, Pharaoh is left with a skeleton crew here to carry on his administration in the absence of his vizier. Those directly associated with Joseph in the capacity of the government, the palace, and his own household. All these, by all indications, voluntarily chose to go with Joseph to bury his dad. Obviously, we understand it's his own family. But the number of the Egyptians is quite startling. And obviously, you have to take what is said here in regards to the numbers within their proper context. But we can safely say all that was left in Egypt to run Egypt, and then in Joseph's family, with the exceptions, were those necessary to maintain the economy, the social welfare, and military otherwise in regards to the affairs of Egypt functioning for the next several weeks of Joseph's absence. So it left him with a skeleton crew. Six, only those essential to maintain the welfare of the state remained behind. And so this is where this one noun, coal, comes into play to give you a better sense of what's being said here. Seven, this is further suggested with the use of the Hebrew noun coal, translated all in English, that is in the singular person, could be translated, quote, each, end quote, indicating designated appointees to accompany Joseph. Certain designated ones, not necessarily carte blanche everyone. That is, certain servants, all the servants of Pharaoh, as it's translated, certain elders of the land of Egypt, where coal is used, and then certain of the household of Joseph, all the household of Joseph, which means that he obviously left behind those he trusted to handle his affairs, his personal affairs. So that's where that noun comes into play to help differentiate what's being described here. Is not everybody left their post. But there was quite the representation from each category, if you will, of hierarchy that joined themselves with Joseph and his family from the Egyptian population. So eight, now while some stayed behind, each level of service and political hierarchy sent representatives for their departments. Everyone had, every department, if you will, had some representative there. Nine, otherwise the entire high-ranking officials of Pharaoh's personal staff, Joseph's brothers, and Jacob's household all joined Joseph. Those particular categories did not have the noun coal before. So you can assume the language is what is being said there, that all of Pharaoh's high-ranking staff, of his personal staff, of the household, joined him. All of his brothers obviously went. And then the family, Jacob's personal family, otherwise, those servants, those who have been associated with him, in that regards, they all went. So 10, the liberal participation of Pharaoh's household evidences the admiration of those working closest with Joseph as he was in charge over them, and the remote, the others, elders of the land of Egypt, the remote respect for the remaining elders of the land, those closely, most closely associated with him, working with him more or less on a daily basis, every one of these, we want to be with him and support him. But even those who he had business dealings with in the government, spread out through the land, governors and things of this nature, prefects, other authorities. Even they send some type of representation. So the admiration the Egyptian people, at least those in terms of rulership and authority, had for this man that delivered them from the famine with his God. We see the admiration. We see the respect that is paid to him in his obligation otherwise to leave his post and go bury his father and then return back home. 11, the exceptions now to Joseph's family attending were, as we saw, quote, only their little ones and their flocks and their herds in the land of Goshen, where the Hebrews were residing in that piece of plot of land, real estate that Joseph set out, that Pharaoh approved for them to live in, a land that was of excellent quality for soil, agriculture, and things of this nature, as we saw. Rokthoth, while Tison, Lauka, Bakar, Azab, Bet, Eretz, Goshen. So they're the exceptions from Joseph's family. 12, the children of the brothers' families. That would be an additional burden. That's your little children. Infants to younger adolescents. So the children of the brothers' families, that would be an additional burden of care for the trip, remained behind with either their mothers or other servants left for their care. A 600-mile trip, round trip, is quite a trek to take without any additional burdens. And obviously little kids, things of this nature. Are we there yet? You want to listen to that for 600 miles? Without modern transportation on top of it. So 13, the reference to their sheep and cattle business then their flocks and their herds. Why does it make reference there? It's an indirect reference to those otherwise left behind necessary to protect and sustain the family businesses. Somebody's got to look out for the business, for their assets, to oversee them. So all these did not attend. So 14, now some commentaries suggest that those retained, the kids and certain ones over their business, some commentaries suggest that those retained were security to Pharaoh for Joseph's return, that they're left as deposit. I'll come back. I've got to come back. We got to come back for the kids. Got to come back and get our business. You know, all these other things that one might attach to a pledge. 15, this, to add on to Pharaoh having a part of this and basically saying you need to leave something back as collateral in your absence. This with the added military escort of chariots and horsemen, at verse 9. Now, some approach this that those aspects of the attendees in the funeral procession were based on security measures implemented by Pharaoh to ensure that Joseph would return. So 16, while a sense of surety may be afforded by these actions, we won't dismiss it on the surface, obviously, this might have the appearance of a military escort and a pledge. Either way, they're going to be more inclined to come back. So while a sense of surety may be afforded by these actions, it implies that Pharaoh has developed a sense of distrust towards him that is without merit. I'm not buying it. Joseph has basically been serving under Pharaoh some 26 years now, almost three decades, 7 years of good. 2 years of famine when his dad showed up. His dad was there and lived for another 17 years. What complaint would Pharaoh have and just the passage itself, how readily he approved the request by Joseph. And then all the household and everybody jumping on the bandwagon and wanting to attend with him. It just doesn't make sense to me. And it otherwise is without merit. I see a more practical application going on here in regards to this situation that makes sense to me. And that's point 17. A more practical application for leaving behind the kids in a quick-moving security force can be advanced. And we will address that in the second session.